A young trainee minister was coming to the end of his curacy under a particularly difficult vicar. A single father looking after his son, the fledgling leader had endured 4 years of misery as his training incumbent had frustrated every attempt the curate had made to inject life and hope and biblical faith into a struggling congregation. As his final Sunday approached, the vicar with unusual generosity invited the curate to preach at his leaving service and even allowed him to choose which passage of the Bible to speak from. The day finally arrived, the long-suffering curate climbed the steps of the pulpit for one final time. As he stood there ready to speak, he unfolded his notes and looked out over the assembled congregation and announced, "This morning I would like to preach from Genesis chapter 22, verse 5. Stay here with the ass, I and the lad will go yonder and worship." Well, it can be tempting, can't it? You know, that final team meeting, that last seminar slot, the outgoing Zoom conference call, the leaving talk or the farewell sermon, to set the record straight about a few things. But in all honesty, we've loved living in Bad Being, getting to know you. Besides which, the purpose of the sermon isn't to grind a personal axe. It's to open up the Word of God, and it is to challenge and to inspire and to comfort and to equip us all to live as God's people in God's world. So where to go today for our final Sunday together? Not Genesis 22, but our verse for the year, of course. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a great verse, but we need to see it within its context. So we're going to begin at verse 1 and with the interregnum. Big word of the day, that, interregnum. Just means a vacancy between leaders, or in our case, vicars. I'll probably just speak about vacancy from here on, because that's a much more common word. Vacancies in parishes or benefices can create a power vacuum. The vicar's gone, the leader has gone. You know, who's in charge? Who does the buck stop with? Who keeps things running? And the answer, like always, is not one individual. You know, it's not the vicar anyway when the vicar's here. It's the fellowship of believers. This is not the first time since 2020 that you've faced a vacancy. Over the years that I've been here, I've not always been here. There have been times that I've been on retreat or on holiday, or other times that I've not been well. COVID on Christmas Day, and a particularly impressive case of food poisoning are two examples that spring instantly to mind. What did the churches in the nightly benefice do then? Shut up shop and just not do anything for weeks? No. The fellowship of believers continued to meet, to worship, and to witness. But it is a bit different now. It's fine when you know the vicar's going to be back in a few days or a week or so. But when there's no set date for that new vicar, tensions, issues, problems, disputes can all raise their heads within and between fellowships. So what advice does the Word of God have for us this morning? Well, in Romans 15, verse 1 and verse 2, Paul instructs us, "We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbours for their good, to build them up." If you look back sort of over the previous couple of chapters, Paul has been addressing the issues of disputes within the church. In first century Rome, the temples acted as places to purchase meat from. So the specific context here is that some Christians see no problem with eating meat that's been offered in worship to pagan gods, and some Christians refuse point blank to have anything to do with it. And of course, both sides see themselves as morally right. How can we as Christians sully ourselves by eating meat that has come through the system of pagan temples? Pagan gods are not gods at all. Our God is the one true God. It makes no difference whether or not the meat has been through a pagan temple. See? And so, pistols at dawn. Or at least, the time, attention and energy of the church becomes consumed with this argument over the weekly shopping list. It deflects them from worship, it deflects them from witness, it deflects them from loving each other, and ultimately the congregation has become judgmental and fractured and distracted. And so in Romans 14 verse 13, Paul says, "Let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in the way of a brother or sister." Make up your mind not to put any stumbling block in the way of a brother or sister. That's key, isn't it? As God's children, out of love, we submit to Christ and we submit to one another. The message from Paul is this: if my eating meat makes you think that involvement in pagan temples is okay and damages your faith in Christ, it's time for me to go veggie. That's what verse 21 of chapter 14 is. It's better not to eat meat or drink wine or to do anything else that will cause your brother or sister to fail. Now, these days, we don't have a problem with meat offered to idols, do we? Sort of, you know, Aldi, Tesco's and Waitrose sort of have got round that anomaly in the food supply chain. There are and there will be other issues that could pull you apart as fellowships and as a benefice whilst you're in vacancy. Are you going to let them? Of course not. One of the songs that I've introduced in some of the churches and schools over the last few years is called Superglue, and it's about how the love of God binds us together. And Jesus comes and stands amongst the disciples and says, "Peace be with you." He comes to unite and to bring God's peace. And God's love does that and binds us together. The song says there are things that could divide us, make us fuss and fight, but we won't let the dark put out the light. So it is that Paul writes in verses 19 and 20, "Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual edification. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food, or whenever trivial dispute slips into our fellowships." And the outworkings of that is Romans chapter 15 verses 1 and 2. "We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbours for their good, to build them up." Why do we want to do that? Why don't we just make sure that it's our way or no way? Because by submitting to one another, we're imitating Christ. Paul reminds us, for even Christ did not please himself. If Christ didn't please himself, then we shouldn't. "For even Christ did not please himself. As it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything that is written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope." And that's our key for the future, isn't it? We stand firm against error and heresy in our fellowships, but we also don't allow petty squabbles to tear us apart because we've got hope. We're following Jesus' example. We put one another before ourselves because our eyes are fixed not on our power, not on our glory, not on our interests, but on the hope that we have in Jesus. That's where I want you to fix your eyes as we enter into a vacancy, an interregnum. Because really, you're not leaderless. Sometimes people will say, "Oh, of course the bishop is your boss," or even, "Of course the king is your boss." And to a degree, yeah, both of those are true. But really, God is my ultimate boss. I always joke about this, because I have to do self-assessment tax returns. Because God is a great boss, but he doesn't do my tax returns. I have to do that. Because God is my boss. And he's yours too. And he alone is in charge of the benefice of the nightly churches. And what is it that our leader wants us to do? What is the most important thing that we can achieve in the vacancy? Is it to keep the building standing? Is it to pay the parish share? Is it to make sure that we get what we want? Is it to keep the money rolling in? Well, trickling at least. The most important thing that we can do is to bring praise to God's name. And one of the key ways in which we do that is in loving one another and working together with one another to God's glory. We are to be witnesses of God's gracious saving power in the Lord Jesus. But remember, the word witness actually has its root in the Greek word martus. And you know what word that gives us as well? Martyr. To witness to Jesus is at its core an act of self-sacrifice. It's going to be hard witnessing to Jesus. We have to not put ourselves first. In our day-to-day dealings with one another, we're to die to self, take up our cross, and follow Jesus. And part of that sacrifice, that martyrdom, is to put together, to put to death our pride in our own agenda. Galatians chapter 5 tells us hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy. They're all described as those who won't inherit the kingdom of God. And worse than that, they'll keep others out too. People will look at a church filled with those emotions and say, yeah, no thank you, that sort of pettiness is not for me. Do you remember our reading? If you forgive anyone their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they're not forgiven. How are they going to hear about how to get forgiveness for their sins if they look at churches pulling themselves apart? They're not. In contrast, Romans 15 verse 7 says, accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. And Paul then picks up the theme that we were looking at last week in Psalm 67, which was, may the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy. And that's our goal, isn't it? That's what we want. For people to praise God. To proclaim salvation to the nations, to all people. To those who are the same as us, and to those who are completely different from us. To the people of Badby, of Newnham, of Charwelton, of Forsley and of Preston Capes. So that they can praise the name of God for all eternity through faith in Christ alone. Remember though, being a witness means sacrifice. Paul was writing to the Roman Christians in uncertain times. Hostile forces were rising against them. Life was difficult and it was only going to get more so. So there were two things that the fellowship there needed to do. First, they had to pull together. They had to stop finding fault with each other. They had to rejoice in their unity in being all one in Christ Jesus, as Galatians 3 puts it. Second, they needed to fix their eyes on Jesus. And that's our verse for the year. Romans 15 verse 13. That brings us to this point. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That was the message that they needed to hear. And as you enter into a vacancy, that's what we need to hear too. Who is our God? He is the God of hope. Not of despair, not of uncertainty, not of failure. He's the God of hope who brings us peace. Remember Jesus said, peace be with you? He's the God of peace. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. At the end of my last assembly, the children at Newnham School, bless them, gave me a big jar. And it was full of little folded bits of paper. And they'd written down little sort of, little tiny sort of, just whatever they wanted to write to me. And they'd very kindly as well put a whole load of Cadbury cream eggs in there to keep me going as I read through these. And it was great. And the children's staff wrote some lovely and encouraging things. And one of them sort of sums up what a lot of them said. They wrote, thank you for teaching us Bible stories and playing your guitar. Now, it's not just that children are easily impressed with my musical skills. It's that the songs pick up the theme of the Bible stories that we've been looking at whatever morning I'd been in. And I still love the story that I was told of one child who wanted to have our God as a great big God at their birthday party. Do you believe that our God is a great big God and that he holds us in his hands? If we read the Bible with hungry hearts, then God will feed us with his precious word and make his hope come alive in us. If we trust in him, then he will fill us with joy and peace. Isn't that a wonderful combination? All peace and we'll just kind of nod off. All joy and we'll probably kind of explode. But Romans 15:13 promises us that the God of hope will fill us with all joy and peace as we trust in him. If we trust in him, then instead of being a poor witness of a fractured church or benefice, we'll become a powerful witness of God's grace, because we're filled with joy and we're filled with peace. Joy in Jesus and peace in Jesus. Overflowing with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember, Jesus breathed on the disciples. And we'll be thinking about Pentecost in a few weeks' time, won't we? And God's Holy Spirit coming on God's people. So that we may be a blessing to others. Allow me to read you one more of the cards that I found in my jar. This particular child wrote, "I remember when I first came to this school in year three, I was really scared. But then I saw Spike." Remember the puppet? He's not with me today, he's busy packing. But the puppet who comes into school and assemblies and services sometimes to help me explain the Bible. She wrote, "Then I saw Spike. It made me feel hope. Thank you. When I first came to this school in year three, I was really scared. But when I saw Spike, it gave me hope. Thank you." Can God fill a puppet to overflowing with the Holy Spirit? God can do anything! So he can use a puppet. If he can use a puppet, he can use you and me. I've often been described as a puppet. Oh no, it's not a puppet, is it? It's a word that sounds like puppet, but never mind. Anyway, there you go. But if God can use you and me and a puppet, he can use anyone, can't he? God can fill us up with his Holy Spirit to his praise and his glory. And he will if we let him. Because we're people of love and grace, of kindness, and we're called to share the incredible hope of Jesus, the Son of God, who came to die in our place because he loves us so much. And because he loves us so much, he then rose again to welcome us into eternal life with our Father God. At some point for everyone out there, the world is a frightening place, like for that child in school. But when they see your church fellowship and your benefice churches, and when they see you, it should make them feel hope. Because God's Holy Spirit is overflowing out of you with the hope of Jesus. It's time for a change in vicar, but your leader stays the same. So if there's one last thing that I would like to say to you, it would be this. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.